As we come now to message four, we are arriving at the goal for this, I would say, a very endearing kind of family-style conference. The general subject is about being recovered by life for God's building. Life and building, the central thoughts of the entire scriptures. And message four has this title, The Changing of Death into Life for the Building Up of the Mystical Body of Christ as the Temple of God. And shortly I'll read a portion from the verses there in John 12, 1 through 22, the portion on the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where the water was changed into wine, and then the verses about destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again. In the first part, we have the changing of death into life. In the second part, we have the temple, God's building, the church, brought forth through increase in the resurrection of Christ. I had the privilege and the honor of preparing all the life study messages on the Gospel of John for publication. That training was given in 1975, 45 years ago. And when Brother Lee directed me to work on these, he asked me to include in the printed messages portions of the translations of the messages he spoke in a meeting for co-workers and leading ones in Taiwan in the late 1950s. And he shared something that obviously made a deep impression on me and lingers within me now, and I believe it's the Spirit that would bring it forth to share something, just a moment and part of our history. In those special meetings, it might have been a training, I don't recall exactly, in Taiwan, with co-workers and leading ones, Brother Lee was ministering from the Gospel of John. And as he was giving this message on changing death into life, that is the changing of water into wine, and then concerning the Lord's word, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. He spoke of the temple of his body. At that time, Brother Lee was aware that somewhat under the surface, a rebellion is being stirred up. After the second visit of T. Austin Sparks and his attack on the truth concerning the ground of the church, a number of prominent, yet much younger co-workers, younger in relation to Brother Lee, they began to feel they had a special higher revelation, and they were planning on separating themselves, actually causing a division. In other words, it was really a rebellion. Brother Lee was aware of this. So as he was speaking from John chapter 2, he indicated that he knew this was going on among a number of those that were right there in the meeting with him. And he mentioned that the Lord said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. And the point is that something that is out from God as the source can pass through death into resurrection. If you try to destroy it, if you attack it, seemingly terminating it, it will come forth in resurrection with increase. Then I was very supplied and enlightened by what Brother Lee said. If this work, this ministry here that I have with you, is not from the Lord, then it deserves to be terminated, brought to an end. Whatever is not of the Lord should be brought to an end. But if this is from the Lord, then on the third day, in resurrection, there will be more, there will be the Lord's vindication of this. So I appreciated the purity, the honesty, the integrity, the genuineness of our brother's whole being. He said, look, if my work is not from God, then it should be brought to an end. But if it is out from God, and you try to destroy it, it will be brought forth in resurrection. And not too long after those meetings, these former co-workers and their followers in various places throughout the island rebelled and left. And there was a period of severe suffering there in Taiwan for a number of years. I won't go into the details. And it's not an exaggeration to say an entire generation was lost. When a number of us visited there for the first time in 1968, we learned of this. And we saw and were impressed, inspired by what the Lord had been producing in resurrection life. I mention this, I think, for two reasons. One is as a living illustration of what we are about to cover by reading the outline after reading verses from John 2. This is not a mere Bible exposition to understand a portion of the word. This is real. This is practical. This is actual. And then the other reason is this, my brothers and sisters. Maybe not all of you, because some may be rather new, but those who have been faithfully pressing on throughout the years, in the aftermath of what happened there, the damage caused, the attack of death, the division, the separation. That is really death. When we read the verses from John, we will see the water pots. They were filled with water. There the water signifies death. And somehow the Lord changed the water into wine. And the wine signifies life. Not only as our supply, but for our enjoyment, to cheer our heart. And I believe this is exactly in the very near future, if not actually the present, of what the Lord will do in Switzerland. The enemy has had his time. He filled the jugs, the water bottles, with death. And so many dear brothers and sisters are living and walking bottles. Once they were quite vigorous in life, but now, truly, it's death. But dear saints, this is the third day. It's the third day in Switzerland, the day of resurrection. And we will see, we will experience, we will testify the water changed into wine, the Lord changing death into life for the building up of God's temple, for the recovery of the churches, local churches in Switzerland. This is happening. Maybe now, in a hidden, mysterious way in the depths of our being, but in the Lord's time and according to His way, it will be manifested. Death changed into life. Water changed into wine. Now we have new wine. We put the wine into new wine skins. I believe the church in Zurich, for instance, would not only have new wine, it's a new wine skin. We're not trying to restore something old, something former. No, it's something new brought forth in resurrection, life out of death for the building of God. Now the verses from John chapter 2, I will read verses 1 through 11 and then 18 through 22. I know we're familiar. But somewhere, Brother Nee said, somehow I learned this. He said, whenever I read the Bible, I read it for the first time. So let's read these verses for the first time in the sense that we read them in newness of spirit, and newness of life, to touch the life and light in the Word. And the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, as well as his disciples, to the wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have in this that concerns you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do." Now there were 6 stone water pots lying there, according to the Jews' rite of purification, holding 2 or 3 measures each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it to him. And when the master of the feast tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man sets out the good wine first. And when they have drunk freely, then that which is worse. You have kept the good wine until now." This was the beginning of signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed into him. This is a sign. It's a symbol with spiritual significance. He came on the third day. That signifies resurrection. He came to a wedding, a time of joy and rejoicing and gladness. But then his mother Mary, seemingly in a panic, said, "They have no wine. All the enjoyment will be gone, no wine." The wine signifying just the natural life with its pleasures. Then we know the Lord told the serving ones, "Fill the water pots." They filled them to the brim. Filled to the brim with death. God in his wisdom often waits until this happens, until the death water fills the brim. Then, we don't know how he did it. We don't need to know. He changed the water into wine. He changed death into life. And the wine, the new wine, the best wine, is really the divine life for our invigoration, for our enjoyment and supply. And then the master of the host, of the feast, rather, his responsibility was to oversee everything. And any food or drink was brought to him to test, to be sure it's acceptable. So he took a sip. I think it was that, maybe a little more. And he was shocked. He was amazed. All the other wedding feasts I've been in, the host brought the good wine at the beginning, and people drink a lot, and their perception is dull. Then they bring in very low-grade wine. "But you have kept the good wine until now." I love these words. I like to speak them to you, or to the Lord, on your behalf. "You have kept the good wine until now." Brothers and sisters, don't live in memories of the old wine, of the old days, the old wineskins. It's the third day, the day of resurrection. Death cannot hold the resurrection life. And I believe the time will come when all the saints, but in particular, those dear sisters and brothers who have been in the Lord's recovery for decades and have all kinds of memories from the past, they will say with a smile, "Lord, you have saved the good wine until now." This is His way. I believe it will be like this forever. There'll be nothing stale in the coming kingdom and in the eternal kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth. Things will be forever new. We will say, "Amazing, we have been here, we don't know how long, tens of thousands of years, we're just here forever. And Lord, you always give us new wine, the good wine, it never ends." This is changing death into life. And then the other portion is verses 18 through 22. And what is recorded here took place after the Lord cleansed the temple of all the corrupt things that were there. And He said in verse 16, "Take these things away from here. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." The Father's house, He called the temple the Father's house. That material temple was actually a sign, a symbol. Just as the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a sign, a symbol. According to John 1:14, the Word Christ became flesh and tabernacled among us. Christ incarnated, and Christ in His incarnation is the real tabernacle. And He is also the real temple. He mentions this in Matthew 12. Then now verse 18 and following. "And the Jews then answered and said to Him, 'What sign do you show us, seeing that you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.'" Destroy this temple. We will see, referring to the temple of His body. The temple of His physical body was the temple there. But in resurrection, the temple would be mystical, the body of Christ. "Then the Jews said, 'This temple was built in 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?'" Again, resurrection. 3 days. "But He spoke of the temple of His body. When therefore He was raised from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." After Christ's resurrection, and during that time, immediately after, the Lord visited them. We know from 1 Peter 1:3, they had been born again, regenerated in the resurrection of Christ. They were His brothers, as the Lord mentioned in John 20. Now they could understand what the Lord was talking about. His physical body, that temple, was destroyed on the cross. Now in resurrection, there is a mystical body, the mystical body of Christ, the church. God's building. Now, we can read through the outline, and I will stay within the time limit. I'm glad to do this. Many of the points do not really need, at least from me, much explanation, but I will pause at certain places and develop a little. Romans 1. The Gospel of John reveals that Christ is our life for God's building. What a statement. Christ is our life for God's building. Can we all say, I'll say it out loud, you say it in your heart. And let's put it this way. Christ is my life for God's building. That's personal. Now we say, Christ is our life for God's building. And that the changing of death into life, that's life's principle, is for the building up of the mystical body of Christ as the temple of God, life's purpose. So the principle of the divine life operating in us is to change death into life. And the purpose of this life is to build up the mystical body of Christ. So, A, sorry there's no B here. To be technical, I should have a B where there's an A. But I don't see a B anywhere. So that's, if it's a mistake, it's mine. The Gospel of John is a book of signs, which are symbols with spiritual significance, used to signify the matter of life. Both the changing of the water into wine and the raising up of the Lord's destroyed body are signs. The changing of death into life is the principle, the means, and the way that we experience Him as resurrection for the building up of the church as His temple. So in the old creation, we are the water pots. We were created to be vessels for containing God. But sin and death came in, damaged our natural life. And as we age humanly, more and more water fills the water pot. But the Lord, who is life and the builder, really cares for us and will save us to the uttermost. And gradually, He changes death into life within our own being. He changes water into wine. That's the principle. And the goal is for the building up of the church. The Lord's goal in His recovery with respect to Switzerland is to build up churches. Here I would refer to you to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, the last verses in that chapter. I just briefly paraphrase them. Verse 21, he said, all the building is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. This is the universal church. All the building, all over the earth, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Then verse 22, you also, you in the church in Ephesus, you also are being built together to be a dwelling place for God in spirit. The sequence here is of great importance. First is the universal church, the body of Christ. And then there is the you also's, all the local churches. The real root of the drastic damage caused by certain ones, starting in the late 1980s in Europe, was the total disregard of the body of Christ, not knowing the body, not honoring the body, not caring for the body, not living according to the principles of the body. So a few years ago, I'll mention the place. I spent a few days in Stuttgart. And on the Lord's Day morning, they asked me to share something. And I pointed out the difference between a genuine local church and a local sect. There is now in Stuttgart a group of believers using the meeting hall that was built by supply and by labor through saints from many parts of the earth. And they say we are, you know, Das Gemeinde in Stuttgart. They can say we are the assembly, we're the church here. I pointed out that is a sect. They're cut off from the universal fellowship of the body. They take in thoughts. No, those are not real churches. We are the real one. And while I was there, a brother among us in a very good spirit after we had fellowship asked, you know, Brother Ron is here, that some of us have a time of fellowship. And we had no intention, just to be together as brothers. And they refused, indicating they lost the ground of the church because they did not consider the body first. So although this is a conference for the saints and the churches in Switzerland, and our burden is for Zurich and all the other cities, brothers, you need to be clear. First, the body. The body's like the Father. Then the local churches. The local churches are like the children. So death is changed into life for this universal building, which is now taking place through the local building. The universal building is being carried out locally, and the local building is for the universal building. Death is changed into life for this. Three, Christ as the real Jonah was buried in the heart of the earth for 3 days and resurrected so that we could be one with him to go out like a dove and preach the gospel of peace. So we are one with him. May doves fly throughout Switzerland, just preaching the gospel of peace. In Ephesians 2, Christ made peace, and now he came to us to announce peace. That's what he said when he appeared, peace be to you. And our gospel is the gospel of peace. 4, Christ as the real Solomon became the life-giving spirit as the reality of resurrection in our spirit to build up the church as the temple of God by prophesying through his members to speak the word of wisdom for the building up of the church as his body. So the God-ordained way is applied here. I do know with a brother named John Ingalls, who's also with the Lord, and some others whom I will not name, they were really bothered by what was developing in Taiwan concerning the God-ordained way. The God-ordained way for the church to meet when all the saints come together or when saints meet in districts. The way of Christianity with Protestants is one man preaching, everything else formal. We come together, one man preaches. And for a long period of time throughout most of the churches, if not all, on the Lord's Day morning, one man speaking, the rest just listening. And this was so in Anaheim, where I spent quite a period of time before Brother Lee had me go to Texas. And, this was very unpleasant to them. You're putting me out of function. You're killing me. Actually, the God-ordained way, organically applied, releases everyone's function. And so the members could meet together in mutuality, prophesying, speaking for God, speaking forth God for God's building. Okay, Roman numeral 2. The fact that the Lord came to a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee on the third day indicates that he comes to us in resurrection. I encourage you, be ready, saints. Resurrection is coming to Switzerland. Actually, resurrection is already there. Resurrection is a person. The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's coming to wedding feasts with no wine. Here we are having a happy time, and then all the enjoyment is gone. No more wine, only death. But resurrection is here. A, during the course of the wedding feast in Cana, the wine ran out. The wine, the life juice of the grape, signifies human life. And the wine running out signifies that our human life with its enjoyment, such as our health, our money, our possessions, our natural relationships, etc., will always run out. This is a fact. Nothing in the natural life, in the natural realm, lasts. That's why we say it's not real. What is real is eternal, and that's God. And the Lord comes personally to us and corporately to us when the wine is about to run out. It's not that it runs out and everyone is desperate and he comes. No, he's there. And while he's there, the wine runs out. The Lord has come into all of us, being life to us. But he's waiting for the wine to run out. Then we will realize how much we need him. And now the way is open for him to change water into wine. 2, The Lord Jesus as our resurrection life never runs out. This wine is eternal, never runs out. And all the joy and supply and delight in this wine never runs out. The Lord wants to have this testimony throughout the earth. He saved the good wine until now. In the future, we'll meet, we'll say, Lord, this is the good wine. You saved it for now. This is the testimony of the divine wine shared with us to delight our heart. B, the Lord Jesus told the people to fill 6 stone water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Okay, 6 water pots. Why 6? What does that signify? The 6 water pots signify the created man, who was created by God on the 6th day. The water here signifies death. So we're all a water pot. Sisters, is this okay? Can you ever look at a full-length mirror, not in a vain way, but just to say, I'm a water pot. All of us are water pots. And the top is here. The water comes in and out here. And we were created on the 6th day, created by God, as vessels to contain him, as I mentioned. But now, we're filled with water. And maybe one's in your own family, or relatives in your expanded, enlarged family. You know, you care for them. They are water pots full of death water. Don't give up. The Lord will change that water into wine. 2, the changing of water into wine, the changing of death into life, is transformation. When we were regenerated experientially, death began to change into life in our spirit. Our spirit had been deadened, not dead, but deadened, like in a deep coma. And now, according to Romans 8:10, our spirit is life because of righteousness. And that word there for life is Zoe. Our spirit is Zoe because Zoe, resurrection life, has come into our spirit. Resurrection is in our spirit, causing our spirit to be life. But the death water remains in the soul and in the body, and so more death will be changed into life for the transformation of our soul, and ultimately our body will be redeemed, and we will have a resurrection body saturated with the divine resurrection life. The second part of point 2 now, the Christian life is not a character-changing life or a behavior-improving life, but a matter of changing our death into life. So I ask you all, especially those that have been, by the Lord's mercy, pursuing the Lord earnestly for years, and you long to grow in life to maturity, to be saved in life, to reign in life. You hope to be an overcomer, raptured among the overcomers. But at the same time, certain things discourage you, disappoint you. You judge yourself. Others may point out your defects. And so you try, okay, I will really work to improve my character. I make a vow. I will be better. I will be more punctual. I will be more diligent. I will be more this. I will read the book on character, and I will pray over the list of 30 characters and do my best to improve. What a waste of time. It's worse to succeed, apparently, than fail. When you succeed, oh, I'm better now. Now, I'm patient. I have forbearance. I'm humble. Yeah. Now the I is so big, bigger than before. Or behavior-improving life. We need our living to match the God-man Jesus. We're not tolerating reckless, careless, lawless living. But just to improve it, that's to stay with the water. You're trying to improve the water. You're trying to improve the vessel that has that water in it. What we need is changing death into life. Stop trying to improve yourself. Allow the Lord to change death into life. Okay, Romans 3. The purpose of life is declared in the Lord's words. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So during those meetings, and in that particular meeting in Taiwan, when Brother Lee was speaking to the co-workers and leading ones, in effect, he's saying, destroy this work. Destroy this ministry. Go ahead. If it's not of God, I repeat this, if it's not of God, it should be destroyed. And it can be destroyed. And I agree with that. But if it's of God, there will be resurrection. Now let's prove to the enemy that the Lord's recovery in Switzerland is of God. The enemy has had his time. Plenty of time. Now it's a new day, a third day. We could almost sing. I could almost sing in a non-existent tune something like this. The third day has dawned. The Lord is flowing on. The blessing of the Lord is coming down. All around us we can see there are signs of victory. Hallelujah. The third day has dawned. It's the third day. It's the third day in Europe. And you are hearing this message on the Lord's Day morning, the day that he resurrected. And the Lord will raise it up. After those bleak years in Taiwan with such loss, the Lord came in with just phenomenal, marvelous blessing, wave after wave. When we visited there, we were all of us were beginners. I'd only been in the recovery for 2 years, even less. We were so cherished and supplied and enlightened by what we saw there. And when Brother Lee was burdened to pursue the God-ordained way, he went back to Taiwan. He knew That was the best place for him to pursue this and develop this. And it was just a wonderful period of time. Taiwan itself, the churches, the saints, the co-workers, the saints of all ages, they're a testimony of, I will raise it up. I will raise it up in the third day. And that is happening in Germany. It is happening in the UK. It will be happening to the full in Switzerland, in Belgium, in Spain, in Portugal, in the Nordic countries, in Greece, in Italy. Forgive me for not mentioning your country, but you're all included. I will raise it up. This is the Lord's word to us. I will raise it up. The Lord in his wisdom allowed this to happen. I won't try to explain why. It's beyond me. But now, the enemy had his time. Now it's God's turn. It's time for resurrection. It's time to be recovered by life for God's building. Now the subpoints. The Gospel of John reveals that the triune God is dispensing himself as life into his believers, and that the believers, as the result of this dispensing, become the building of God. One of the best things you can do for the Lord's recovery where you are, for the church where you are, is day by day to experience the dispensing of the triune God into you. Every day. Don't let the enemy cheat you, saying, oh, you're praying for your own situation now. I would say to him, shut up, enemy. I'm going to pray for my personal life with the Lord. You just watch and listen. This is my time with him. Lord, I'm a vessel created and redeemed and cleansed by you. Lord, all day today, dispense yourself into me. I just open my being, Lord. Work yourself into me. And Lord, do this for the church. Do this for my brothers and sisters. Do this for the church where I am. Do it for your body. Will you please do this? Will you look to the Lord? Don't like make a vow in your natural strength. Oh, I promise I will do this from now on. I don't trust that. But to say, Lord, please grant me the mercy and grace. And even remind me every day to be a open vessel receiving your dispensing. This will save us from self-improvement and all kinds of self-effort. The dispensing is for the building. B, in his resurrection, the Lord Jesus rebuilt God's temple in a larger way, making it a corporate temple, the mystical body of Christ. And I mentioned how this took place, and still is, in Taiwan. And although my knowledge is very limited, I can testify in the Lord. This has been taking place throughout China, the mainland. There was a lot that happened to the churches and to the saints. And in no way, while I'm sharing this, am I not criticizing the government. I respect the government in every country. Wherever I visit, I honor the government and obey the government and would never speak contrary to it. I'm talking about the spiritual situation, not the political one. Death came in. The water was filling everyone, everywhere. But then the water was changed into wine. And now there are millions of believers. Only the Lord knows. Brother Lee told us, don't touch what's happening in China. He told us, at least in the West. Only the Holy Spirit knows. But there are just strong indications. The Lord is raising up the temple on the third day. He will do it in North Korea. He will do it in Cuba. Eventually, I believe he will do it in Iran. Our God is the God of resurrection. Now, the subpoints under B. 1. The body of Jesus, the temple that was destroyed on the cross, was small and weak. But the body of Jesus in resurrection is vast and powerful. We are members of the vast and powerful mystical body of Christ. Wow. And the life supply in that vast and powerful body is our supply. The whole body stands with Switzerland. The life in the body flows into Switzerland. And the Lord's recovery in Switzerland will reciprocate, and what you experience and enjoy will also be transmitted into the body in mutuality. 2, since the day of resurrection, his resurrection, the Lord Jesus has been enlarging his body in resurrection life. He's still enlarging it in space and time. He is still working for the building of his body under the process of resurrection. Okay? I like this word. It's an important word. Process. The process of resurrection. Resurrection will be an event in the future. This is right. That's the objective side. We know from John 11:25, resurrection is a person, Christ himself. But especially from Paul's epistles and from John's writings, we know that resurrection is also a process, a deep inward process. And whenever death attacks, the process of resurrection deep within us immediately is activated. And this process has been taking place within you, saints. It's now coming to the surface, coming into your consciousness. The process of resurrection will prevail in Europe. It will prevail in Switzerland. There will be no heroes among us. We're just ordinary believers, members of the body. The glory goes to the God of resurrection. And what a blessing that even as I'm saying these words, I and you are in the process of resurrection. He's doing this all over the earth. to enlarge his body in resurrection. 3, Christ, who is resurrection and life, changes death into life for the building up of the house of God. Not for our going to heaven, but for our coming home, the church, the house of God. Our living as Christians is a life of changing death into life for the building up of the mystical body of Christ. What a wonderful statement. I owe this, of course, to Brother Lee's ministry. I learned this from him. Our living as Christians, what kind of life is it? Our life as Christians is a life of changing death into life for the building up of the mystical body of Christ. Now in Switzerland, the Lord is changing death into life for the recovery and then the building up of the churches throughout that country. This is our life. This is what we're living for. This is our future. 4, the Father's house is a matter of the triune God through incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, working himself into the believers in order to be fully mingled with them so that he may build them up as an organism for his dwelling and expression. The Father's house in John 14 is not heaven. Remember the Lord's word in John 2, my Father's house, referring to the temple. Then the Lord's temple, his body, was enlarged to be the mystical body of Christ. And this is the church as the Father's house. I repeat, we're not experiencing resurrection life to be in heaven or go to live in heaven. Heaven is not our home. Our home is the Father's house, where a place has been prepared for each one of us by Christ in his resurrection. 5, the Father's house is a divine and human incorporation of the processed and consummated God, constituted with his redeemed, regenerated, and transformed elect. We use the word incorporation to refer to coherence, persons indwelling one another mutually, simultaneously. None of us as humans can live this kind of life. We don't live inside one another. But this is true of the triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Spirit. They indwell one another. Now in resurrection, through Christ, we are now in the Father by being in the Son. And the Father in Christ as his Spirit is in us. Now we are living a life of cohering. We live in Christ, abide in me. Christ lives in us. I abide in you. This is the house. This is the building. The mutual indwelling of the redeemed, regenerated believers and the processed and consummated triune God. 6, the Lord's coming brought God into man, and his going brought man into God. By this coming and going, he builds up the house of God by building God into man and man into God. He came in resurrection. He brought us into God. He came by incarnation, sorry. He came and brought God to us in incarnation. He brought us into God through resurrection. He did this by incarnation, then crucifixion and death. Now in our experience, he comes to us. He wants to come again and again to bring God to us. And then through the life process of resurrection, he brings us into God. Right now, he's building God into us and building us into God. 7. By the Spirit and through his death and resurrection, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is building an organism, the church, which is his body and the Father's house, produced by the mingling of the triune God and his chosen and redeemed people. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. We were chosen in eternity past. Ephesians 1:4. Predestinated unto sonship. Verse 5. We have been redeemed and regenerated in and through Christ. Now the triune God is mingling himself with us and mingling us with him. In this way, he's building up the church. To Christ, the church is his body. To the Father, the church is his house. But the body, the church as the body and the church as the house, is the same one church. There's not a body here and a house there in heaven. No, the church is the body of Christ and the house of God. 8. The Father's house is built up by the constant visitation to the redeemed elect of the Father and the Son with the Spirit. John 14:23 is a precious, cherishing, enduring word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father and I will come to him and make an abode with him. Oh, again and again, in response to our love and our spontaneous keeping of his word by being in union with him, he comes to us, not for a visit, to make his home there. Ephesians 3:17, Christ making his home in your hearts. This is how God gets his dwelling place, and we are brought into our dwelling place, the mutual dwelling place that ultimately will be the corporate God-man, the New Jerusalem, the redeeming God married to his redeemed and transformed people to be a mutual dwelling place forever. Now, the last point, the Father's house is in three stages. The stage of incarnation, okay, accomplished once for all. The stage of Christ being resurrected with the believers to be built up as the church. That is taking place right now. And the consummate stage is the New Jerusalem, the eternal dwelling place of the triune God in Christ. And the tripartite, redeemed, regenerated, transformed, conformed believers as his tabernacle. This is the goal. And we're heading toward eternity. There will be a new heaven and a new earth with the bride, the holy city, descending from heaven. We will all be there forever. But we are in space and we are in time. Today, it's in October 2020. I'm in Anaheim. You're in Switzerland. But we're in the process of the Lord's changing death into life for God's building. My dear brothers and sisters, whoever you are, because I know few of you, and wherever you are, through this clay vessel, this human vessel speaking to you, maybe there are some words that will enlighten you, supply you, nourish you, cherish you, comfort you encourage you. What a wonderful life we have. A life of death being changed into life for God's building. We just worship God in His mercy for saving us, for bringing us into the recovery, for preserving us and serving us. And we respond by thanking Him, loving Him, praising Him, and offering ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice for life and for building. May the processed and consummated triune God bless his recovery in Switzerland in every way, at every time, in every situation, and every way, and everywhere, until the consummation of the age. The Lord bless you all. In the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.